Laura Gonzalez explains that only Jesus can free you from your past sins.
We are not more of a sinner because we had an abortion, but we can feel guilty because of our sins. The only way to deal with your guilt is to run to Christ.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walderhuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For January 20, 2022, I'm Dana Gresh. Yesterday, we began hearing the story of Laura and Fausto Gonzalez. As a young wife, Laura wanted to have kids. But Fausto was digging in his heels, not wanting to be a dad. Today, we'll continue hearing how Fausto and Laura learned to embrace and value life. And Nancy will talk to us about what it means to encourage life.
We affirm that human life is precious to God and is to be valued and protected from the point of conception until rightful death.
We'll hear more from Nancy later, but first, let's review some of what we heard yesterday from Fausto and Laura.
We had no idea that you could have a relationship with God. We just knew that there was a God. We married in February 1987, and we went to live in Florida. Fausto was not into children.
I didn't have a good relationship with my father, because he would say, "I don't like children in front of us." He would say, "Take him away." I also thought I would never be a good parent. So I knew, well, at some point she's going
to
say,
"Okay, it's time to try to have our first child."
It happened. She finally got pregnant. And I remember when Sarah was born, and when you find yourself playing the part, you see that you didn't go to rehearsals. No one showed you. So you're just there sitting, seeing things pass you by one day, 1 week, 1 year, 3 years, and hoping she'll grow up, and then, okay, it's over.
It would be good to have another child, and I kept talking to Fausto about it.
I didn't want that.
And about 2 weeks after we went to Orlando, I get chickenpox. I got it really bad. So I go to my family doctor. And the first thing he does is a pregnancy test. And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not pregnant." And yes, I was. That pregnancy occurred while the chickenpox was being incubated. But he said there are many cases of birth defects when children are conceived in that part of your chickenpox. So you need to see other doctors. And everybody concluded that I needed to get an abortion.
So I convinced Laura, we need to do this. And again, it was good with me because I didn't want to have another child.
Here's part two of Fausto and Laura's story.
They suggested I get a therapeutic abortion. So we agreed to doing that. We heard the counsel of the wicked.
When you have to do something like that, you want to get it over with right there. But we had to wait like 2-3 weeks. And there were times when I think she would say, "What if we don't do it?"
To me, it was not an easy decision because I wanted this child.
And I remember having to be firm in, no, this is what we need to do.
I wanted the child.
At the time, I would say, this is what the experts recommend, even though they never said you have to. They said chances are high, and they would show us the numbers. But that was good reason for me to go through with that.
The bottom line was that we did not want to suffer. We thought life was for us to be happy, and this would be a complete disruption in our lives. We were just blind. We were blind. It's amazing how blind you can be when you don't know the Bible and the God of the Bible.
I remember the day of the abortion.
It was in 1991. And that was the most horrible day of my life. It was horrible. I remember arriving to this place in Orlando.
And there were Christians with signs outside on the sidewalk.
They were saying, "Are you sure you want to do this?"
But I just passed them by.
And I ignored them.
And we just walked past through them.
And just sitting in this waiting room with a whole bunch of teenagers. I was 31.
I wasn't allowed to go with Laura into the surgery or operating area. So I sat there in the waiting room. And I think I didn't want to think about it.
And I can remember the sound of the vacuum. I can remember that like now. And it's an unforgettable experience.
I just sat there with the magazine, trying not to make it something important.
And I remember that after that I had to sit in a waiting room for a while. And I just could not stop crying.
And I thought, well, there is sadness in the world, so this is a sad moment.
I had no idea what I had done. I had no idea what God thought about what I had done, but I felt horrible. And I cried and cried and cried and cried.
And we'll just get by and life will go back to normal.
Mm-hmm. And I remember driving home and I felt so miserable.
Even then, I couldn't imagine it now. But even then, in our blindness, there was a sense of, not good. Something wrong. It's not like you sprain an ankle. This is something different. But then you tell yourself, think about something else, get busy, you know, don't. And even when she would get emotional, you would just try to do something to not think about that. And then days go by and weeks go by.
It took a lot of time for me to just understand what had happened, but I did not feel a sinner because of that. I cried because I wanted the child. A year passed, and I remember my doctor said that I could try, if we wanted another child, we could try a certain number of months later. We did not try right away. And by that time, we were building a home, a second home. And we were in the process of building the home and a lot going on in our lives. And I got pregnant without us trying again.
I guess when she got pregnant with this one, our third, again, you would never find me clapping and celebrating. But I thought, well, this would be the second one, and we'll close. That'll be it. So you train your mind, you talk to yourself, and I was okay. If we have to do it, let's do it. She got pregnant. Here we are again. Let's do this.
This was around Christmas 1992, and we were going to travel to the DR for Christmas. And we traveled there, and when I got to the DR, I started spotting. And it wouldn't stop. I wouldn't stop spotting, little here, and then 2 days I was fine. I had some cramping. And they took me to a gynecologist in the DR. And when they did an ultrasound, they realized that the baby had been dead for 2 weeks. So in my heart, I thought, God, I thought God was, can chastising me because of what I had done.
And I remember at the time, even though I wasn't a Christian, I thought, so this is how you do things. Talking to the big guy up there. Like, okay, so we did this with this other one, now you do this. Okay, fair. I win, because I don't want any more. So I'm okay with it. Good deal. But I knew Laura was sad. She wanted another child.
I believed in God. I just didn't know him. And I thought that he would punish the bad things. And I thought maybe I did something bad, because I knew that there was issues about abortion. Is it bad? Is it good? Should we do it? Should we not do it? So I thought maybe I shouldn't have had that abortion, and God just, I took one out, he takes one out. That's what I thought God was doing.
It was almost like someone is on my side. Someone is looking after me. Someone knows that I'm not fit to be a parent, that I have all these deficiencies and all these problems, all these handicaps, and someone is making sure that the least babies I have, the less I'm going to mess it up. So I was great. Good. This is going to work.
I didn't know Christ. I didn't know forgiveness. I didn't know God. So that was really sad for us. They did a DNC in the DR, and I was devastated. And we flew back to the United States. And after that, after some months, we tried many times. And I never took the pill again, and I never got pregnant again.
Well, in those 10 years between 92 and 02,
we had everything that we thought we needed.
We bought a brand new house, and we had nice cars, and we would travel, and we had the baby.
And Fausto had a thriving dental practice.
And we were making money.
When I turned 40, I started feeling an emptiness.
We were living that life that I always wanted.
But I felt empty.
So it was a picture-perfect life.
One day I just thought, is this life? Just going to work in the morning, and I would play tennis, and day in, day out. What was the purpose of life?
I never felt that. I felt like we're moving along, things are good, you know, stay in track, don't lose focus, and just keep on going. We're heading the right way and enjoying my life and planning my weekends and my vacations, and that was life for me. That's how Christ knocked on my door.
What I did to investigate the purpose of life was start reading philosophical books. They all sounded so that they would give me an answer for life's enigmas, you know, But I had that emptiness. One day, my sister-in-law traveled to Orlando from Dominican Republic. She spent the day there. She was in Miami and drove to Orlando. And she was a Christian. And she had a friend. And this friend, she said, oh, what a beautiful life you have. You have a nice family. You have a nice home. But you're missing Christ. And I said, no, what are you saying? I know Jesus Christ. We go to church every Sunday. I pray. I know the Lord. And then I used to go to Fausto's dental office to help every week, filing the insurances. And the receptionist had known Christ recently. And when I told her this story, she realized I was searching. So she said, let me have you hear something. She had a cassette tape of a testimony, and she gave it to me one day. And that week, Fausto went to Fort Lauderdale for a seminar. Sarah went with a friend, and I was home just cleaning, and I put the cassette And this lady was talking about how God had changed her life. And I remember sitting down in my kitchen counter, listening to that, and my eyes were opened. I understood life in a minute. I understood that I was a sinner, that Christ had come to bear my sins and had washed me with his sacrifice, and that I understood the gospel in an instant. It was amazing. And I even remember, I don't like to say this, but because some people think I'm weird, but I felt water. I felt water washing over me. And I was joyful. And I remember when Fausto came home that evening, I said, Fausto, I had never read the Bible in my life. And I said, Fausto, I think I was born again today. And I didn't even know the term. And I said, Fausto, I feel like I was born again. And Fausto said, oh, she's crazy. And then I couldn't sleep after that. I was so joyful the next weeks after that. That's happened on a Saturday. Monday, I used to play tennis, and I'm playing tennis and next to me, there's two friends hitting, and one of them tells to the other, oh, have you seen this Bible-believing church that was opened in Apopka, which was very close to us? And I hear, and I say, what church is that? Oh, it's just a non-denominational church. So I said, that's the church I need to go to, because I never knew what I was revealed to me. I never knew it in this other church, so I need to go to this one. And I get home and I tell Fausto, this Sunday, I'm going to go to this church. If you're not coming, I don't care. I'm going to this church. And all week long, Fausto thinks I'm going to forget that. Sunday comes, and I'm getting ready to go to this church. So Fausto thinks he needs to come with me because I was very weak and, you know, in my mind. And he thought, what are they going to do to her in that church? So he and Sarah came.
And I sat there, and the minute the pastor started preaching, I started crying and feeling guilty, like I was the worst person in the world, like I had killed someone, and they had found me. That's how I felt, that I had been hiding, and police finally caught up with me. That's the feeling I felt, and the despair of having found out. They know who I am. And I cried and cried and cried for the whole sermon until the man stopped talking, and then I composed myself and didn't even know what happened. I had no clue what had happened. I thought I had a nervous breakdown. I thought I had some emotional episode, that I went crazy. I didn't know. But then gradually, as the following week, we came back and I heard some more, and listening to Laura talking, I started connecting dots, and I thought, after week two, I thought, well, apparently this is spiritual. This has to do with church and God and Bible. And after that, it all made sense. I understood everything, and our lives changed completely, completely.
First of all, we are all sinners. We are not more of a sinner because we had an abortion, but we can feel guilty because of our sins, and there's no way you can get rid of your guilt by trying to cover up what you did or by trying to run from what you did. The only way to deal with your guilt is to run to Christ. Christ is your Savior. Christ is your Redeemer. Christ is the person that can forgive you, that can forgive your sins. He died for you on the cross because of that abortion that you committed, because of that sin. And his blood is all sufficient, and you can be forgiven for eternity for that sin. Your sins will be nailed to the cross. If there's a scripture that is engraved in my heart, is to know that my abortion was nailed to the cross, and I have been forgiven that horrible crime. I will have to deal with the consequences of my sin. There's a member of my family that is missing, but I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven because of Christ.
That was my first experience, my first personal experience with God. The feeling that He would be the Father I didn't have.
We've been hearing the story of Laura and Fausto Gonzalez. And this is the story of a couple who chose abortion early in their marriage, but have learned to value life by God's grace. As I listen to this story, I can't help but think that maybe your story sounds a lot like theirs. Maybe your past sounds a lot like theirs. I hope that you can hear the hope and the healing and the forgiveness that God has unfolded in the story of Laura and Fausto Gonzalez. He wants to do that kind of healing, that kind of work in your life. And once he starts, he's never going to stop. In fact, let me take you to this last little part of Laura's story. She was part of the very first True Woman Conference in 2008, and God continued to do amazing things in her life there. At that conference, the True Woman Manifesto was unveiled for the first time. It includes this line about the value of life.
We affirm that human life is precious to God and is to be valued and protected from the point of conception until rightful death.
Let's hear from our host, Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, unpacking this line from the True Woman Manifesto.
God was intentional in creating human life. He created us for his kingdom purposes. We were not a random thing that God just like an afterthought. I think we'll have something different. God was intentional in creating us, and he has a mission, a plan, a purpose for each human life. That plan has been in place from eternity past, before we were ever conceived. God knew us. He had designed us. We were created in his mind, in his heart, in eternity past, with a specific plan and purpose for our lives. Scripture tells us that. I love that verse in Ephesians 2. It's right after the verses 8 and 9 that talk about by grace you were saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. And then it says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. God formed the man. God made the woman. He shaped, he built. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before he ever made us. He planned those works that we should walk in them. Your life is not an accident. God put you here for a purpose. God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, before anyone had ever thought about you, before you there was a cell in your being, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God says, I had a purpose for you. I had a design for your life. Now, God's design for your life may not be to be a prophet to the nations, but it's something. God knows what it is, and it was designed for you before you were even born.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth talking about the reason that we value life as a gift from God. Earlier in the program, we heard from Fausto and Laura Gonzalez sharing about how they went from choosing abortion to fighting for life. The change happened in them when they encountered Jesus in a personal way. Here at Revive Our Hearts, we're passionate about helping women experience the freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness found in Christ. And I want you to know that's especially true if you have abortion in your past and you need to have freedom from that experience. I want you to know the joy of having great intimacy with Jesus Christ. You can find that as you spend time with him and as you experience him in his word, which is why Nancy wrote a Place of Quiet Rest journal. It helps you get into God's word and begin to know him more intimately. This journal will help you get in the habit of spending time in God's word every day, and you'll see how consistent time with the Lord transforms your heart, transforms your relationship with him, and strengthens your faith. Get the Place of Quiet Rest journal when you make a donation of any amount to this ministry. Your support makes it possible for us to keep sharing life-changing truth with women all around the world. Just visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959 and request your journal today. That's 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, we'll hear part 3 of Fausto and Laura's story. Find out what they're doing now to encourage young couples to value life. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth invites you to experience freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.